Amen. You may be seated. Certainly wonderful to be back here in the house of the Lord and to worship God together and to just have fellowship together. You know, you just don't have real fellowship in the Lord unless you're full of the Holy Spirit and in His Word. And when we come together on the common grounds of that Word is Christ, have a blessed time together. Now, every now and then I have a little time and I get with people who have little questions to ask, and you must remember I'm not the pastor here, so therefore when questions are asked, I answer them very generally because I have to give a general answer. But anytime you need a specific answer, you have to talk to Brother Green or Brother Johnson because they would know your problem intimately and be able to help you more than I can, because unless you sat with me quite a while and told me all the ins and outs, I wouldn't be familiar with it. But anytime you have a problem and you think I might be able to help, maybe something that Brother Branham and I had discussed or something we've run across in the ministry around the country might help you, well, we're sure glad to do what we can. But unless you become very, very specific, you get a general answer. So you just remember that when you talk to me, and remember that when I talk back at you, so to speak, talk to you again. Now, we don't want to be too late tonight, and yet the message is one I feel is needed because it's of the end time. And this one will be followed Sunday morning by another message which will go with it. Now, back, I think, I can't remember the exact date, but I do believe that when Brother Branham preached on Does God Change His Mind About His Word, that could have been about 64, I guess, somewhere in there, 65, that late, right at the end. He said that at the end time, the people would not know right from wrong. And, of course, ministering to the church, this was in the church. Now, this poses a very serious question. And his little remark of one sentence, maybe a split second, I want to cover tonight, maybe as long as an hour and a half. And the message is righteousness and unrighteousness. Some of you perhaps have heard the tape. Some haven't. That's all right. It won't hurt you to hear it again tonight because they always change. New thoughts are added. But I feel this is a very necessary subject. And Brother Green wanted me to bring some of these messages brought in Canada because the tapes did not turn out well. In fact, some cannot even be heard. But I feel this is a very important subject because at the end time, the spirits are so close that it's very difficult, except for the very elect, to discern. And if you have a people at the end time who cannot tell right from wrong, then you can realize how close the Spirit must be in order to cause this great confusion. So let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we come now into your presence, Lord, to study your word together, that we might know the things that are truly given to us of God. Lord, we believe that we're in the age of the Holy Spirit that your prophet spoke of. We believe, Lord, this is the day when the latter rain has fallen for sure upon the word that has been set forth in our midst. And therefore, we know that this is the hour that our faith is going to be turned right back to the fathers, to really know by divine revelation, thus saith the Lord, to stand one with this word, that we might have proper understanding and thereby have true faith in Thee. So, Lord, just guard, we pray, the words and the lips, Lord, and also the heart, so that the ear and the mouth may be one, the understanding and the saying might be not only compatible to a degree, but to every degree, right to the infinite. And so, Lord, we commend ourselves to you now, knowing that if we pray according to your will, you hear us. And then if you hear us, we know we have the petition we desired of you. So, Father, we rest in your hands now, believing that everything is going to be just exactly right. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Going to the book of Malachi, the third chapter, you'll We read in verses, beginning at verse 16, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." Now, I know we've read this verse many times, but because we have preconceived ideas of what we're reading even before we read it, we don't even read it right. Now, the average person will read this verse, and he will say, "That's wonderful, they were talking to God." They were not talking to God. Now, what were they doing? Let's see what they're doing. "They that feared the Lord spake often one to another." The people were talking to each other, and God was so pleased by what he heard that he wrote a book of remembrance. See? Now, what kind of a language and what kind of talk were these people doing? So that God was so pleased that he did something very special about them, which was not done evidently through other ages. And he said concerning them, "They shall be mine in the day when I make up my jewels." Now, of course, this can only be the day of the first resurrection and the rapture, when all are together at the great marriage supper of the Lamb. So therefore, at the end time, before the rapture, the people are evidently speaking in a certain way that pleases God, and nobody else speaks that way, and they are the only ones who evidently fear his name and understand his name, because they are the only ones at the end time who will comprise the jewels at the end time age period. There is, of course, only one group of people that can qualify, and they will be those who give back to God, by speaking to each other, the true understanding of the Word of Almighty God. Now notice what he says here, "I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." And this also has something to do with serving. Evidently the rest do not serve him. Many people speak, many people talk about God, multitudes talk to God. But at the end time, it is not your talking to God, but it is your talking to each other in a certain specific way that God will recognize you, make you one of his jewels, and consequently also impute to you the fact that you've been a true servant. No one else is going to qualify. Now, as much as this may seem bigoted and unfair, I have no choice but to preach the Word of God the way it is written. Not the way I think it ought to be written, not the way I would hope it might be written, in order to incur favor to people, with people, or even to extend grace to them, which grace they must have denied because they'll not be part of those rules. Now this may sound hard, but we just can't go by what we think. For us to become lax or generous in a grace which God has not extended, brother, sister, does not enhance the glory of God or do anything for us, it destroys us. See? Now, notice verse 18. It says, "Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." Now, my text, of course, is verse 18. And it says, "Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." Now, first of all, you'll notice that this verse is very obscure. People pass over it. They don't bother to memorize it, and neither do you find it in the great text wherein famous messengers of God in the past have preached. And not only is it very obscure, but it is very wrongly translated. This is one of the most terrible translations, perhaps, in the book of Malachi here. It says, "Then shall you return and discern not between the righteous and the wicked, but actually between righteousness and wickedness." Now that's what the Bible teaches. The discernment is not between righteous people and wicked people, but it's actually between righteousness and wickedness, and only certain people are going to be able to judge between what is right and what is wrong. Notice also, it says here, that they do not know who is serving God. So the question arises, what kind of a person is incapable of knowing right from wrong? Now, you've got to get rid of your own thinking. This is what's so hard for people to grasp this message. See, you've got to let your own thinking go, as Brother Branham said. The Bible says the people at the end time, except for a certain few who speak in a certain way, fearing his name in a certain way, will not know the difference between right and wrong. Neither will they know who serves God and who does not serve God. Now remember, this is absolutely in the church. And furthermore, just like saying that the people of the end time do not know their left hand from their right hand, spiritually speaking, or they can't tell their hands before their face. Now, this shows a tremendous blindness, but the Bible says they're going to be that way, and so that's the way they're going to be, and that's the way they are at the end time. Now, notice how the Spirit puts it. He said, then shall you return, and after you have returned, then you will be able to do this very thing, which is discern between right and wrong, and be able to know who is serving God and who is not serving God. But you've got to return first. Now, if they have got to return, then they must be away from God. Because a man cannot return to a certain point until first of all he has left it. I cannot return to my home until first of all I leave it. So therefore, people cannot return to God until first of all they have left him. So therefore, it not only appears here, but it is true that everybody has turned away from God. Everybody has left God. They are all away from him, and they don't even know it. Except for this little group of people who speak in a certain way and fear his name. And they are counted as jewels, which certainly show that they have done righteously, and also that they are serving God, wherein the rest do not do so. Now, this proves that the bride is in this mess. Now, I know many people don't want to say that. They say, well, certainly God's always had a very few, and a few. I challenge you, at the end time, God does not have even the few. He doesn't. They've all gone astray. They've all left God. And he ends up at this end time that this one that returns, they are going to be counted as the true servants of Almighty God. They're going to be counted as those that know their left hand from their right hand spiritually, and they'll be talking in a certain way. See? Now that's just exactly the way the Bible states it, so we're not going to switch it. Now look at Malachi 3:7 and see for yourself. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone astray from or away from my ordinances and have not kept them. See, there it is. Even from the days of your fathers. Now remember, the hearts of the children are to be turned back to the fathers. So therefore, he's talking to the children. And remember, it's in the very age of 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, 2 and 3, that Paul says they will leave the word. And it's in Second Revelation, that second chapter, that Paul says, that John says rather, they have left the word, they have fallen. See? Now notice how he puts it. From the days of your fathers, it was in the very first century that the church began to turn from God. See? Now, he said, how have they turned? They have turned from the ordinances, which is the word of God. Now, notice what he says, return unto me, and I will return unto you. Now, how did they turn from God? They turned from God by turning from the word. So, therefore, only a turning to the word will bring the people back to God. Now, you can see perfectly every single thing I've said so far is 100% correct. You have got to come back to that word. And when you come back to that word, you will be saying that word in a manner which is acceptable to God, and the service then will be finalized as correct. And no one else will be in that rapture. Now, you can teach it any way you want, but you can't get past what I've said. See? Turning back to Almighty God. Now, notice what time this is going to occur. It's in the 4th chapter. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. Well, that's the day that the rapture is, right at the end time. And all the proud, those that can't admit that they're off the word, see? Yea, all that do wickedly, they don't even know right from wrong, spiritually blinded, it says, shall be a stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and go up as calves of the stall, Then should you tread down the wicked, for they should be ashes under the sole of your feet in the day that I should do this, saith the Lord God of hosts. You won't be coming back with a big sword and trying to beat everybody over the head. You'll tread them down because they're already down. They've been burned up. You'll walk on them just the way Noah and his little group walked on the dead that were in his day. God just laid down a big old bed of silk, and they walked right on top. See? Now, the same thing is earth. Now, notice, watch carefully. It says here, remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, and the statutes and judgment. Now, what has this got to do about that? It's very simple. Remember you the law of Moses, my servant. What happened to Moses? In Horeb, God had to give him the word twice. Now, he tells you right here the word is going to be given twice. Now, remember, Sinai is what we usually call Mount Horeb. See? Mount Sinai, the judgments of God, the broken word of Almighty God. But now in Horeb, we associate it more with the blessing where the word of God comes to the people for their acceptance and the accepted. And with this, they were supposed to go into the promised land. And so at the end time, he is saying, remember the law of Moses, how that the word of God was given twice, so therefore I will give the word of God again the second time. And how is he going to do it? The fifth verse. Behold, I will send unto you Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the children back to the fathers. Now, I skipped the one part intentionally because it's been fulfilled. When the word of God is fulfilled, it passes away. See? For the word of God shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. See? Now, this first part was fulfilled. The hearts of the fathers turned to the children. But at the end time, the hearts of the children must be turned back to the fathers. And notice what happened. It has to go back to the word. This is why the word is given the second time, so that people may be correct. Not that the first time has to be corrected. The first time was correct, but the people left the word. And now you've got to get back to what the word really said. See? And he said, I'm going to send Elijah to do it. Now, he said, if I don't send Elijah, I'm going to come and smite utterly the earth with a curse. But because I do send Elijah, and I do bring you back to that word, and therefore you speak often one to another this word, and you know my name, and you fear me in the prescribed way, then he said, I will smite utterly the earth, and they will be under the soles of your feet. But you I will make as my jewels in that day, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, here's your picture. See? People have turned away from God. But they must be turned back. Let's go to the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter, and see this very thing brought to our attention. Jesus is speaking after the Mount of Transfiguration, which is a picture of the millennium, which is to come upon earth. Jesus, the Son of David, reigning upon the throne in a glorified body. In the 11th verse, they said to him concerning this great kingdom that shall come. Elijah truly, Jesus said, Elijah shall truly first come. The disciples said in the 10th verse, why then say the scribes Elijah must first come? And Jesus said, Elijah shall truly first come and restore all things. Now notice the same thing is brought to our attention in the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter. Beginning at verse 19. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which is appointed unto you, whom the heavens must retain, not receive, it's retained, until the restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Who is going to bring the restoration? Elijah is going to bring the restoration. What is that restoration? That which was spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. What did the mouth of all the holy prophets speak? It spoke the word of God. So therefore the people are going to be turned back to the actual word of God, and not only just the word of God in a limited sense, but it said of all the holy prophets since the world began, and the first holy prophet was God Almighty himself. Now then, so if you're going to get turned back to the Word, you're going to get turned back to God. See? It absolutely synchronizes. It's synonymous. To have one is to have the other. You could not have God apart from His Word, and neither can you have this Word apart from God. See? That's just absolutely perfect, the way the Lord lays it out here before us. Now I mentioned that this period of spiritual blindness is just before Jesus comes. They are so spiritually blinded that they cannot tell righteousness from unrighteousness. They cannot tell righteousness from iniquity. Now, you know that's true. They cannot tell righteousness from wickedness. They have turned from God. Now, this is exactly what the Bible says at the end time in the Laodicean church age. This, of course, is in the second, the third chapter of the book of Revelation, verses 14 to 22. And under the messenger of the church which is in Laodicea, write, these things have the amen. It's going to wind up now. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest. See? The trademark of this age. Now remember, is the same as in Malachi. I believe I counted it one day in Malachi, and I think it was 24 times the term, thou sayest occurs. So therefore, the book of Malachi and Revelation 3, 14 to 22 are absolute and parallel. Thou sayest. Thou sayest. Now, if this is an age of thou sayest, then this group is also going to be sayest. There you are. Bible dovetails. You can't change it. Every place you go, this message dovetails. The people are talking. But there's one group only that's talking right. The other group is not talking right. See? The one group that we have must be saying the right thing. Now notice I lumped the whole thing together before this man Elijah comes. Before Elijah comes, I put it all in one lump. Let's see if it's all in one lump. He said, I then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich, and increased with goods, and am needed nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Now the literal, the actual condition of these people was that they were actually speaking contrary to the word of Almighty God. Now God must do something in order that this whole lump will not speak contrary to the word of God, or God will simply send the avenging angels and destroy the whole lump. Now you know as well as I do that God's not going to have part of a body ascend in that resurrection. Remember, the body of Christ must come to a fullness. Every member must come in. The body will be full at this last great day manifestation, which we're looking for in its own peculiar, quiet, simple way. Now, he says here, I am not going to allow the whole lump to be destroyed. So what's he going to do? He's going to send Elijah. Now watch. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. The shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And also, not just you anoint your eyes, but I'm going to give you the salve whereby you can anoint your eyes that you may see. Now notice he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous. The zeal of the church at this age, brother, sister, in the light of the coming rapture before Almighty God is the zeal of the word. Because the word repent means change your mind. Now, I don't want to fuss at anybody, but I'm just a little bit fed up with those people who think they know this Bible more than I do, and more than the Greek, to tell me that repentance is other than what the Greek says it is. Repentance is not a good feeling. Repentance is not sorrow. Because God the sorrow worketh repentance. Not God the sorrow worketh sorrow. I'm not going to be standing up here self-righteous and indignant. Don't think you've run that I'm going to do it. But if I lower the boom on this, I have reason to do it. Because there's too much said over the sacred desk of Almighty God that doesn't edify you and help you, but confuses you. Now, repentance means change of mind. Look it up for yourself. See? Repent. The message of the age is change your mind. Because it's by the mind that we're going to be renewed and transfigured. And if you don't have this message, you'll never make the rapture. Because nothing outside of this message will come to life. Now do you see why I preach it? And remember, the mind is the womb. Are we a bunch of prostitutes with growing wombs? Huh? I'm not trying to blister you. Just trying to bring this across. We're not here to play church any longer and fool around. The Word of God is the Word of God. And it's not what somebody up here interprets and tells you. It's what does the Word say? There is one message for this age. And that message is repent. Change your mind. You say, well, your mind has everything to do with it. Because God can't instruct an idiot. The only thing he says about the feeble mind is comfort them, because they don't know anything. Now this age is so mentally shocked. And remember, conscience is a part of your mind. This age is so mentally shocked before Almighty God that unless this mind is attacked by the word, the sword of Almighty God, which is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, if this word does not attack and change our minds, we are just as much lost as anybody else is. The message of this age is repentance. Change your mind. Get lined up with the Word of God. See, not just your actions. We have had fine acting men for generations. We have had sweet loving men for generations. But this is the age where man has left that Word and consequently left God and now refuses to come to grips with the Word that the prophet brings. Now he said, if Elijah doesn't come and bring you back, and the message is the change of mind. It's not they worship God. They are worshiping God. It's not they don't steal. They are stealing. It's not they don't talk. You shouldn't refuse tongues. They are speaking in tongues. But what is it? The word of God must be restored. Now, you can only talk better if it's according to your mind. We've got a very foolish statement that says, that man spoke before he thought. Now, that's a lie. He just didn't think long enough before he spoke, that's all. Now, how are you going to have a people speaking the things that God wants to hear, that's going to bring the record, that God's going to lay down to make up his jewel, unless it comes by the mind? See? To speak out of your heart signifies only sincerity and what you really are, hypocrite or otherwise. But you got to come by the mind. Now, he said here, be zealous to keep changing that mind of yours and lining up, because at the end time, in this great Holy Ghost age, it's going to be precept upon precept and nine upon nine, and here a little and there a little, which boils down to precept, line, word, 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 until it's one word. Now that's your end time. Now notice what Jesus also said about this end time. I want to show you how it all comes to pass. Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 26 to 30. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, gave in marriage, so they had Noah into the ark. Flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, sold, planned to build it. Same day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone. Remember, one rain was moisture and one rain was fire, but it both rained. How fortunate today we have had former rain and latter rain. See, to the day it rains hailstones, 100 pounds apiece, and stones of the harlot. It's going to rain again, brother, sister. What rain do you want? What rain do you want? Do you want former and latter rain, naked, or do you want just the hailstone? Because you got your choice tonight. See, Brother Brown said, this was so simple, just go over everybody's heads. He's looking for this, she's looking for that. What about looking that word? See, every thought into captivity obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, it's going to rain again. Now, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now notice what Jesus said here in Luke 17, 26 to 30. He said this was going to happen. See? Now, if you just let me illustrate something here. Jesus in Matthew 17 said Elijah would surely come and restore. And Peter explained it at Pentecost. Now, if Peter had the keys and explained that at Pentecost, or just after Pentecost, what Jesus meant when he said Elijah would restore, then in my thinking it is absolutely possible that Peter might also have taken these words, see, about the days of Noah and Lot,
and explained them to us in the light of what we're speaking of, end time restoration of the Word, without which man would not know righteousness from wickedness. And you know something? It works. Let's go to 2 Peter 2 and find out. 2 Peter, 2nd chapter. You're going to see that Peter does the same thing for this as he did for Matthew 17. All right. Verse 1. But there were false prophets. The word in the Greek is a gyros, means to arose. To arise, they arose. I like that better because it signifies the whole impact of that spirit lying there like those 200,000 devils in Euphrates until the day came unbound, they rise. See? As there arose false prophets also among the people, even there shall be false teachers. Oh, we get so hepped up about these false prophets, it can do a sign and a wonder that we forget that Peter said false teachers. You don't need a lot of false prophets. You just need a couple of real 14-karat phonies, and you'll have 100 teachers rise up to follow him. That's right. Teachers. Teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, the very thing that Paul spoke of in 2 Corinthians 11. Even denying the Lord that bought them, they sure do. They don't know the Lord God of Israel. They don't know the Lord God of the Gentiles. They don't know the Lord God of the universe. They've got a Jehovah and a Elohim and a Jesus and you name it. There's just one. They don't know him. See? Now, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. That's exactly right, because a swift destruction comes at the end time. When they're having a great hallelujah jubilee, when they think there's a great worldwide revival, oh yes, they think it's just wonderful, and it will look wonderful, and there's swift destruction because they deny the very God that was set forth among them when God identified himself amongst them, who he was. Hey, amen, I like that. Sets my soul on fire. I'd sooner go to hell preaching the truth than to go to heaven preaching a lie. You got to have tough fiber in your soul. Stick with the Word of God. Sure, someone's going to get offended. Don't worry. Let them be offended. Offenses must come. See? And many shall follow their pernicious ways, where the blood of Jesus Christ will not apply anymore. They can talk all they want about a sacrifice. But brother, sister, the blood of the covenant won't do them one bit of good, because they turned down the Word of God according to Hebrews, the 3rd and 4th chapter. Now listen. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be either spoken of. There we are. They'll speak against the evil. They'll speak against the way of truth. No wonder God's making up his book of those who speak a certain way. Why? Because they speak the truth in the Lord Jesus Christ as Father. I speak the truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll tell you, if you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll speak the truth. And if you're in the truth, you'll be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And put them both together, you'll be talking to him. Notice truth covetousness with feigned words. Feigned words. The prophet said, the prophet's planted on a tape for me. They make merchandise of you. Men don't want following creeks, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation stumbleth. For if God spare not the angel of the sins, but cast them down to hell, deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spare not the old world, but say Noah, the 8th person. There we are. As it was in the days of the Lord Noah. Giving in marriage. We're going to get the picture of this thing now. See what we're talking about. He said they'd be parallel. And yet he said in Malachi they wouldn't know right from wrong. Let's find out about this picture. Whether God's going to renew men's minds and give them a chance to repent. Listen, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness. There you are. Sure. Got to happen this time, too. God had to send a preacher of righteousness. Didn't say a deer. I believe William Brown's one of the most consecrated, perfect, guileless men in all this world. But I want to tell you, other men were just as great in that same gifted way. But they weren't the man to become the preacher of righteousness. We're in the same boat, Brother Zicker. Now, bringing in the flood upon the world, the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overflow, making them examples unto those who should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, just as righteous soul from day to day with unlawful deeds, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust for the day of judgment. You got a picture right there what God said he's going to do in Malachi. Going to overthrow the world with the flaming fire and judgment. I'll not destroy this world once more by water, said Jesus. I'm going to destroy it by fire. I'm not speaking now of dissolution of the elements when he's going to bring new Jerusalem down upon a recreated universe, new earth. I'm talking now when he said we're walking on the ashes of the wicked. And you've got them two sitting right here, and they're going to be here. But he saved the righteous as he saved Noah, as he saved Lot. See? And their souls were, that's why, because there was a cross current on the earth. That's where it was. These men did every bit as good as this group over here. They've got just as much power. They've got just as much this. In fact, they seem to have more. But the cross current lies on the word. See? Here's where your revelation was. Notice verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. See? And why? They're not washed by the water of the word. I don't care how good they act and how perfect the actions are. How moral they seem to be. If you've been washed any place outside of the washing the water by the word, that official won't hold up. See? How was that labor, therefore? Suffer to be so now, thus it becometh us. Why? Because the Word said so. The one that you see the Holy Ghost descending upon when he's baptized in that water. How many even go as far as the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? You've got multiplied millions of those and billions that even talk about a three God and a Trinity in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. If you get a cross current right now on one sweet name, Lord Jesus Christ. They despise government. Sure they do. What government's in the church? This is not simply a physical civic government. They despise the authority that God set in the church. And that despising is in every church, even in the Roman Catholic, because they're telling the Pope what to say. But you notice how the Pope said last Sunday? I wish I had his words in my pocket. I wrote them down. Don't have them with me. He literally said, if it took force to bring about ecumenicity, they'd use force. Well, the Pope hasn't changed, and neither has Jesus. Hallelujah. And Jesus is going to outlive the Pope any day because he's run several in the ground now. Glory to God. Back to the bottomless pit. Notice, presumptuous are they. They don't have thus saith the Lord. They can't do a thing. A good Mohammedan will do just as good. See? Self-willed. They won't put their wills down to the Word of God and not afraid to speak evil of dignity. Whereas angels, which are in greater power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these as natural brute beasts speak evil of things that they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. But brother, sister, if you don't have the revelation, then you have a reprobate faith from a corrupt mind. They shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots are they in blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceiving, while they feast with you. What do you feast on? The Word of God. And they deceived concerning their own creeds and dogmas. Having eyes full of adultery. Join this, join that. Oh, it's wonderful. All get together. And the ecumenical move is on. Hallelujah. We'll all be brothers. Count me out, please. My stomach can't stand it. I've got a headache as it is. They cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable soul. The rock of the revelation is the only stability anybody's got. And a heart they have exercised with covered flesh. Cursed children. They belong to King. Hold that in mind while I talk about King and Abel tonight. Why King was cursed. Which have forsaken the, notice, they have forsaken the right way. They had it. They turned it down. And have gone astray. How? Following the way of Balaam, who used genuine, pure gifts of God to enhance himself and to destroy Israel, and died in sin fighting Israel. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. Because he was found dead in battle.
fighting against Israel.
And was rebuked for his iniquity, daring to use a gift apart from the proper place of its use. Listen, the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness. Brother Branham said, they'll be mad. Spiritual amnesia. The madness of the prophet. That's what the Bible teaches. They will go mad. These are wells without water. They're getting something, but it's not water. Then, in spite of the fact they say they have the Holy Ghost, they don't have the Holy Ghost. They are clouds carried with the tempest. No rain in them. To whom the mist of darkness is reserved ever. For when they speak, thou sayest, thou sayest, thou sayest. Great swelling words of vanity. Vanity is vain, doesn't do one bit of good. Pride. They allure through the lust, the pleasures of the flesh. Much wantonness. Those that are clean escape from them who live in error. Religious experiences. Cleaning up lives. Gifts of the Spirit manifested. Looks like the real thing. Haven't got it. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of the same corruption. What was that corruption? The corruption of the Word of Almighty God, which brings death and not life. See? Sure. I know the world thinks we strain the gnat and swallow a camel. That's where they're wrong. See? Now on. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. What did they leave? They left the truth. They went after gifts. They had manifestation. We'll tell you what they had shortly. They had a lot of things, but they're in bondage. They're right in bondage. They put their ear to the door, and they say, I love my denomination. I love my tongues. I love the way I'm going. And the little old law punctured the earlobe, and they'll never hear again. No, they won't. I can prove that. Wait, we get to Hebrews 6. Sure, listen. They've escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than me. Now listen, the Bible said that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they shall never perish. No one will pluck them out of my Father's hand. He said, you're sealed by the Holy Ghost of the day of your redemption. Eternal security is absolutely in the Word of Almighty God if you're born again. And these folk were not born again, because they can go right back to where they were. What are you born by? You're born by the revealed Word of Almighty God, so therefore these weren't. Creeds and dogmas. And don't think, Brother Sitter, they can't do miracles. Listen, if I can go to Christian Science and Unity Church and see miracle after miracle based upon the fact that they believe in a God and that they are one with Him and that God is a God of love, though they deny the virgin birth and the blood of Jesus Christ, if I can see that, then don't tell me you can't see mighty miracles of those who go further. And they're all lost.
If they don't go back to the Word. Why? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. And where were you? You were one of those little words inside him. See? Now it says the end is going to be worse than the beginning. He said, you can't imagine. He said, what you think that you escaped, you can't imagine the bondage you've actually placed yourself in. Let's go back to Malachi. Except those who speak the certain way and fear the name, except by a revelation, it says all of you are going to be destroyed. Wait until the tribulation hits them. And they say, my God, what happened? Where did we miss it? See? They'll know this. Of course, there'll be something, well, we told you, because we don't get raptured till the end. And what when the end comes? Rapture, Lord, rapture, Lord, rapture, Lord. No rapture. Mountains form us, rocks cover us. See? Now listen, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. It were better that they didn't know the difference between right and wrong. It were better that they hadn't had the chance to know. That's a really thing, know right from wrong. See? Far better than to... Then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. How many times was it delivered? Twice. Remember ye Moses, the law of Moses in Mount Horeb.
Remember the second time the Word of God comes. The second time. Remember the first time it could fall, but the second time it can't fall. Why?
It's restored. You get a bone here that's broken. If it mends right, and they'll break in the same place again. Why? Because there's a new rib around it. See? Now listen. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit. What's vomit? What he ate. Not what he did, what he ate. And the sow to the wallowing in the mire. What's that? Her natural nature. How many people had the chance to hear this word and went right back to proving what they were because they didn't want the word? They're still anxious to fuss about it. They just can't take it to heart. Now, you notice here what we have read. Notice that fifth verse again. Noah, a preacher of righteousness. Not the great doer, although he was a fine man and did the right thing, but he was preaching it. And brother, sister, when you're preaching, he was teaching. He was bringing to the people the word of the hour that saved the alien, and everybody else perished outside of that word. It's going to happen again. Those angel messengers went out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Everybody perished, but those that came out by that word. Brother Sicker, don't you see the Lot sitting in that gate with no paragon of virtues? Don't you see what Brother Brown taught the way he taught? Sure, character's right, but character's not the great thing that's coming. It's that word. See? There's a difference. Those that knew the revelation and were not fooled, for all but the very elect shall be, see? Notice how he puts it. Receive the reward of unrighteousness. See? Right down the line. Now, let's just leave Peter for just a split second there, and let's find another witness. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 8 to 12. You still with me? That's good. It's going to be good. Maybe a little hard at times, but it's going to be good. All right? That's doing me a lot of good. No, about you. I always enjoy this because it just shows to me so clearly what's taking place. Now, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Notice that wicked be revealed. See? Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. See, no word though. See? Who is Satan? The anointed cherub that covered. Now what's the anointing? It was the Holy Ghost. Satan was anointed by the Holy Ghost as he stood guard over the word in the worship of God. Think of it. How did you are you thinking? Oh, I know. Oh, don't mention the Holy Ghost and devil at the same time. See where you are? Oh, come on. You bunch of little babies. I went to a church in Pennsylvania, and some were so offended, a little sip of wine at communion. I said, look, when are you going to grow up? Bunch of babies. Don't want to read it the way it's written. Don't want to know what the word really said. Yeah, I hope you're not in that clan. Thou art the anointed cherub that covered. Right. And he took and prostituted with his own word the worship of God, and God threw him out of heaven. And you're going to have the same thing repeat at the end time. A leadership in the worship of God, which God despises, because Satan is tricking them to take it to himself. And he's going to do it. And how is he going to do it? He's going to do it the very things that God laid right down here in this earth for a pure bride to have her hands on. And the rest are going to profane it. Amen. Listen. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They loved it. Now remember, these words of Peter are not words that sound out very vulgar, terrible, bombastic things. Remember, brother, sister, everything on this earth is a shadow, and the true substance is in heaven, the spiritual. So every word that sounds so hard and so vile here in 2 Peter is really a shadow of the substance which is spiritual, and the spiritual connotation in these words, they are not physical. So when the eyes are full of adultery, it is not somebody running around looking at lascivious women. It is lascivious men fornicating with church systems to see where they can benefit themselves and make themselves a name, and that's what they are. No wonder they don't know the name of God at this end time. They're so busy glorifying the names Miss Baptist, Miss Presbyterian, Miss Oneness, Miss This, and Miss That, they miss it all. Listen, they had pleasure in unrighteousness. They loved it. It was their joy. It was their spiritual exhilaration. Not some filthy, moth-eaten, blasphemous thing out there in the gutter, but in the church, in the beautiful worship. No wonder it cried in Revelation, "Alas, Babylon, that mighty city, it was beautiful, it was lovely." Aiming for this thing for centuries and generations, and now we've come to a place of the great love of the brethren, and the church doing her wonderful duty to bring righteousness upon earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hog one. And they love it. And the Pentecostals, the claim they've got the Holy Ghost, are just as much in it as those who don't claim any Holy Ghost. And they love it. Their pleasure's in it. Their joy is in it. But ours is a stimulation of the wine of the revelation by the Holy Ghost of Almighty God. Amen. I know where we're getting near pleasures, but I want mine in the Word. Now, all right. We've established the end time condition of Christianity. That's right. I know people don't want to believe this. And they say, "Oh, that means those dirty communists." And I got news for you. Those dirty communists may be a whole lot cleaner than the so-called Christians. Okay? Sure it's not. So spirits, the great deception is at hand. Spiritually blinded people that can't tell righteousness from unrighteousness. Right in the church, they fail to see who serves God and him who serves him not. And they end up worshiping the Antichrist, just like the Bible says. Now comes the question. Where did this all come from? See? Why must it end this way? See? Why must it end in the church worship system? Fine people. Nobody's fussing at the people. The system. See? Under the system. Now what is it? What does it? What brings it? Now we'll go to 1 John the 3rd chapter and we'll find it. We'll talk about it. First John. Watch in verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is right. Oh, bless God, don't tell me any man deceive me. I can see hallelujah. I know when a thing's right and when it's wrong. Glory to God. What do you think? I'm some kind of a stupid fellow. Way back there, John warned them about the very thing of our day. Little children, don't anybody deceive you. What's to be deceived? I can tell when a guy's really unrighteous when he's righteous. John said, evidently, you don't know what you think you know. Or you would take me seriously. How many of us read this and take it seriously? A fear grips our heart. Oh, no, we blandly, blithely hop over. Oh, yes, I see. Isn't that? Yes, that's nice. That's very sweet. Ho, ho, ho. I know. Nobody's serious. No fear grips the heart. Or when someone whispered and said, "Say, did you hear that stock you got in the dollar? My stock go down. I lose a dollar. Heaven forbid. Please, Jesus. Please, Jesus. Don't let my stock go down." Bunch of stupid hypocrites, aren't we? Something's wrong somewhere. It's not God, brother, sister. It's not God. This book stood the test of time. Not God. Nothing wrong with him. What's wrong with us? See? We don't believe it. We're beginning to believe it. I've got news for you. One day we're going to believe it when the squeeze comes down. An old Sarah stood at that tent door, and God said, "Ah, you're going to have a child." She said, "Ho, ho, ho." There was a hole in the sleeve. And God said, why did Sarah laugh?
I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh.
He said, but you did laugh. We haven't been rebuked yet. We'll start believing the rebuke comes. Don't worry. I'm in the same boat with you. I only put it this way. Not you say, well, leave there. He's really aware. And his heart goes pity, pity, pat. Oh, no, don't. I don't have any more fear than you got. Maybe you got less. I'm lying to you. We didn't tremble at his presence. We're not doing it now. See, we need help to be serious. But we're going to be serious, though. The prophet said so. And he never lied, and he never fooled us, and it never, ever failed. So one of these days, we're going to get real serious. Hallelujah. So glory to God. Just wave your hand, children. It's coming. Yes, sir. Now listen. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. See that word? He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Even as Jesus is righteous, he that committeth sins of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. What beginning? Not the very beginning, because there was no iniquity in that beginning, but in the other beginning, when sin came on the ground, when he was that cherub that covered, what was he doing? Oh, that's when it started. See, get your picture now. Don't ever lose the picture, brother, sister. That's what the prophet taught us, see? Now, he said, if you ever get off mark, bring that bullet back. Don't get your lines crossed in times like these. No, don't get your thinking wrong. Keep it right with the word. Now listen. For this purpose, the Son of God is manifested, that he might not destroy, but bring to nothing the works of the devil. That's right. He brings to nothing. Now listen. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now notice right here, it says the reason a man doesn't sin is because he can't sin. Now the reason I don't lift 500 pounds and run around town is because I can't lift 500 pounds. I can't even lift 100. So you'll never see me running around town with 500 pounds on my shoulder. Don't ever think I will, because I won't, because I can't. Now that's what it says here. It says this man doesn't sin because he can't sin. Yet over here in another place it says he can sin. Now, in one place he needs an advocate, the other place he doesn't need an advocate. So he must be talking about two things. He must be talking about something here that if you're a child of God, you simply can't do. But over here you could. And it has to do with righteousness and unrighteousness. It has to do, as Brother Brown said, you can't be deceived. See? But we mustn't fool around just the same. Now watch. Verse 11, 10. In this very thing, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Tells you right there. If you are God, you do it. Neither he loveth nor his brother. For this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, as his brother, and wherefore slew him, because his own works evil, and his brother's righteous. Now right here, we often read this wrong. We say, oh yes, that unrighteous person able killed his brother. Well, that's true. But we always say this, what was that unrighteous thing? Why killed his brother? The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that Cain did an unrighteous thing, and it led him to killing his brother. See, it wasn't the killing. No, it's true, that was unrighteous. That was naughty. That was wrong. But what was that unrighteous thing that he did that led him to kill his brother? Now, if we can find that out, we can find what this whole thing is all about. See, now, let's go back to the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter, just like Brother Branham taught us. All right, notice. Verse 2. And Abel was a keeper of the ground. Abel was a keeper of the sheep, rather, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also, he brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And because God did not respect Cain's offering, Cain got mad. In other words, what Cain did was unrighteous. And now notice,
And the Lord said to Cain, why are you wrong? And why is thy countenance fallen? Now listen, when I read this in the King James, according to what is translated from the so-called Hebrew, we're going to get a big mess. But I'll read it anyway. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now there's only one place to find the correct answer, and that's in the Septuagint. Believe it or not. Because Jesus used it, and Paul used it, and Peter used it. They used the translation from the Hebrew to the Greek by the 70 elders or scholars in Alexandria under Ptolemy. Now, what is the actual in translation from the Septuagint? Here's what God said. Thou hast offered right. Yet if thou hast not rightly divided, hast thou not sinned? Read it again. Thou, said God to Cain, hast offered right. Yet, if thou hast not rightly divided, even though you did the right thing, you are still sinning. Now let's go to 2 Timothy 2:15 and prove it. 2 Timothy 2:15, let's find out all about it. And right here it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman, serving God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there is no such thing as a workman who will not be ashamed unless or until he divides the word right. Now, did Cain offer right? What did he offer? He offered the first fruits. Is that in the Bible? Yes. If it's in the Bible, then the offering was right. The division was wrong because he should have given the blood first, then the first fruit. He misinterpreted the word. And thereby his act of worship and service to God was not accepted. The act of worship was unrighteous. The service was turned aside. Now let's prove from the very New Testament that what I told you is the truth, in case you're a little bit worried about whether Bill's trying to give you a snow job. Let's just read, without turning to it perhaps, Hebrews 11th chapter. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So if Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice, then Cain offered an excellent sacrifice. There is your answer. What did these boys do? They came to worship God according to the Word of God, but only one was in the Word of God by revelation, and according to God, he did a righteous thing. But the other one, trying to please God, trying to serve God, trying to be right, trying to do right, without the revelation, his work was unrighteous. Now it says in your Bible here, if you're a true child of God, you will never ever be outside of the division of this word. You will be approved, you will be accepted, because you cannot be deceived. Cain was deceived. How? Like millions more, simply reading that Bible and believing their own interpretation and idea, rather than to stand with what the word of the hour absolutely brings forth in that day. Now, you'll notice right here, two acts by two men. One served God, the other served him not, though both said they did, and both tried to. So I'm serving God. You're a liar. God says you're not. If you're not in that word. Well, say, bless God, I sure did so-and-so. So did Cain. Well, I want to tell you, look how right I am. You're unrighteous. Your work's unrighteous. Yeah, but now, hold it, brother there. You are actually talking about a sacrifice. That's exactly right. I hope you caught it. Because you can talk all you want about the death and resurrection, the mediatorial and the intercessory power of Jesus Christ, and be just as lost as Israel, who left Egypt with
a blood sacrifice, and a Holy Ghost revival, and still perished because the word was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, see here. Cain was a worker, a tiller of the soil. Abel went by pure faith. Abel divided the word rightly, but Cain did not. Now, hear what the prophet of God said. Original spoken words, written seed. You can only serve God as you do and believe the servants that God sends you. You can only serve God on earth as God's servants that sent on earth by divine interpretation interpret the word to you. Okay. Am I preaching the word the way he preached it? I don't know one point I'm missing on. Cain had the right offering in the wrong place. Then he hated the one who had it right. Now notice, please, Abel had the word right. Then he loved his brother, for he did not even defend himself. But see, listen, it's the correct word and then love. Don't make love your criterion. It is not your love first. It is not your work first. It is being in the Spirit of God and having the word for your day. Make the revealed word your criterion, and it starts with, thus saith the Lord. Now you can see the picture. This is what the works of the devil are. Misinterpretation of the word and serving God by creeds and dogmas. In vain do you worship me, having for doctrine the commandments of men. The same thing that he perpetrated upon Eve. Why, he said, Eve, it's all right. Didn't God tell you to multiply and replenish it? Why, she said, he certainly did. Then he said, let's do it. Absolute misdividing of the word, yet attempting to please God. And then she said, I have received of God a man. Oh, they all claim big things. They'll all claim they're right. But how can we be right if we're off that word? Listen, Jesus and Paul both were killed because they worshipped according to what people called heresy, but which was the revealed will and word of Almighty God. Now listen, let's go back to Hebrews 11 again, that fourth verse that I quoted you. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Watch. Both men offered. Now listen, both men had faith in the revelation. That's right. You've got faith in yours, I've got faith in mine, Baptist God in his, Presbyterian in his. They've all got faith in revelation. Sure. But notice, one was wrong. That manifested who was right. Now, back in Abel's day, I believe that God showed his divine approval by sending a pillar of fire to lick up the offering. But what about today? How do we know today if we are lined up with the word? Now, how are we going to find out? Now, the Word of God has to have the answer. 1 John 4, listen to verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets... Sure. Verse 6. Listen to John. We'll take 5 first. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Now listen. John says, we are of God. He that knoweth God listens to me. You weren't even listening. Did you catch it? You ever hear such a big mouth in your life? Unabashed. Unashamed, unequivocally stand up there and say what I just read. He that knows God hears me. Drums his fingers, lets it sink in. And he said, he that is not of God does not hear me. Stops a while and says, and this is the way you know the spirit of truth and of error.
Now, people just read that and they don't even think about it. They're finding those important verses. Hallelujah. Glory. Those important verses. I don't think there's any important verse in the Bible when you want to consider one over the other. My Bible says no word of God's void of power. So I go, for this one. Oh, they don't like these little thoughts in here about a man standing up and drawing his robes around, looking down with his steely eyes and saying, you want who knows God? I'll tell you who. I know him. And if you hear me, then I know that you know him too. Isn't it funny? The Pope gets away with it. Yeah. The idolatrous Babylonian system knows more about reality than the so-called Holy Ghost filled people. Because if you brought this before anybody, or Brother Branham had to sit up and said this very thing, which he was qualified to say, they'd have run him out of town. In such righteous indignation. Such holy zeal. Such masterful vengeance. Glory. Surely, the brother catches on. I'm not making putting an act on. I'm telling you the truth. Tell us the word of God, says it on us. The only way I know how to get it across you, if I just went and preached like any other preacher, you wouldn't get it. You'd be still sitting there, over your head, over your head. Get in your heart! You've got thus saith the Lord in the camp. We've dealt with God. We've seen him face to face, as it were, to the revealed word. God identifying himself. Hallelujah! Glory to God. It's not wrong to shout a little bit. We got something to shout about. Amen. I don't mind you shout when I shout, because then nobody loses what I'm saying. If you shout when I'm talking, it might not be quite so good. It's all right. So you're still feeling religious. With the right kind, too. Hereby we know. This is how we know what the Spirit is. Whether you got the right one or the wrong one. Not these other things maybe we thought for years was the indication, but this is it. See? Now listen. Let's go a step further. I don't want one witness like John. Maybe John got off the track a little bit. You know, you sometimes get old. You think you're what you aren't. You know, you try to make yourself somebody. Let's find out somebody else did the same thing. Thank God he did. And he's dear old Apostle Paul that everybody just loves to quote. Hallelujah. And what I find in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, I find Paul saying in verse 36, what? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? Where did this word come from? Did you produce it, or did I produce it? Now listen, if any man thinks he's a prophet, part of the fivefold ministry, or spiritual, got the Holy Ghost, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of God. You got the Holy Ghost? Huh? You part of the fivefold ministry? You turn around and say to Paul, I've got just as much right to talk as you got. What? Where'd this word come from? What do you think you're producing anyway? Two men standing up in that first century. Peter himself saying, if any man speak, let him speak as the Lord of the God. You hear me talking, don't you? And it's thus saith the Lord what I'm saying. Three men said it. What more do you want? A whole multitude? Then news for you. Prophets don't come in multitudes. Nor apostles. Now listen. This identification has never, ever ceased in the church. Right. Because people might say, well, preacher, that's fine. I'm ready to walk out now because you blew it. Because ain't nothing happened after the first century. Well, don't walk out because I haven't blown it. Revelation 1 and 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. Now, you know the trumpet is the message. Because except the trumpet make a certain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? Now, notice in the 12th verse, and I turned to see the voice. What wonderful language! You and I would say, I turned to see the speaker, but John does not. He turns to see the voice. Where is that voice?
Where's that voice of Paul? Where's that voice of John? Where's that voice of Peter? Where's that voice of Jesus? Where is it? Never mind the man. I don't care if he comes in a gunny sack. Give me a John the Baptist eating locusts and wild honey with an old sheepskin around him. That's fine to me. Give me that word. I'm involved with life and death. And I turned to see, I turned to get that voice. And when I turned, I saw the bride. 7 golden candlesticks. The bride in 7 church ages. There she was. And the voice was in the bride. And you got to look to that bride to get that voice. Now find that bride. Now find that bride. No place else, because she's in 7 golden candlesticks. Because that's the bride. And he saw one like unto the Son of Man, which in the Greek may also be interpreted, one who says the same things as. That voice caught him. Now, that one had in his hand 7 stars, which were 7 messengers. Now, let's go to the 2nd chapter, verse 1. Unto the messenger of the church which is in Ephesus write, these things said he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the bride, for 7 church ages, saying the same thing. But watch verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to unto the churches. But he's only talking to one man, the messenger. So therefore, if you want to hear from God, you're going to have to identify with the messenger, who has a message which is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Because every time Jesus introduces himself to messengers, he gives them a revelation of who he is, and then he gives them the historical data of the age so you can place it. What is the message of every age? It is Christ revealed. Hallelujah. Until at the end time, the Alpha and the Omega comes into full view. See? And he gets us ready for the rapture. Brother, sister, that voice has been in every single age. And at the end time, we had a most marvelous phenomena. Because at the end time, God, not willing, and making sure that there would be a people identified with the Word who would not die when it came time to judge sin, he said he himself would come on down. And I saw the mighty messenger come down from heaven, clothed with the cloud, a rainbow upon his head, his feet as it were, his face as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire, and he came down with a little open book to earth in order to read it on earth. And the thunders came on earth, not to heaven. And at the same time, a prophet stood there in order to say, I challenge you. Show me one time was ever wrong. But they didn't want that. They couldn't stand another Paul. They couldn't stand another John. They couldn't stand another Peter. And they said, what is with this man anyway? Oh, sure, because he's got a great ministry. Now it's gone to his head. Oh, they all do it. Dowie did the same thing. And they all do it. So this man is a fallacious individual, too. No, he wasn't a liar, brother, sister. Because the Bible said, when that man came who had thus said the Lord, you hear him and you fear him or you would be cut off. Every, as Brother Banner said, in the Word, he was indicated, he was authenticated, and he was vindicated. What more do you want? See? Listen, its demonstration was so fantastic that this was the end time messenger, that it says this in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, concerning this age. Verse 4, for it is impossible those who are once for all enlightened, now listen what they have, they may taste the heavenly gift, they may partake of the Holy Ghost, they will taste the good word of God, they will taste the powers of God, and they will still fall away. And they will never be renewed to a change of their mind. And never once will that word ever come back to the mind. But as dogs to the vomit, and the sow to the wallow, the ox to destruction, and the fool to his folly, as the bird that's struck by the arrow, they go to their death. Why? Because they don't believe that the spirit of truth and error is associated with men. And as men will indicate the spirit of error by the error, so the men of truth can only stand with the truth. All of these things are marvelous. Listen, enlightenment, partake of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, the power of the word of God, all of these things, absolutely everyone, manifest. Remember when Christ was here, that took place, and again at the end time. The end time messenger with the same identical ministry standing on this earth brings us all into focus. They turn it down. They turn it down. Because they don't know the word of God. See, what a fantastic vindication. Yet it's turned down. Going back to 2 Thessalonians for just a second, notice what it says in that 10th to 12 verses. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. No, they won't be saved. No. And for this cause God, not the devil, brother, sister. For this cause God himself is going to send delusion.
Well, I just say, well, the devil does that, brother. Oh, you see what it is? God will get the devil to do it.
No, it says God himself is going to do it. How much personal honor is at stake at this end time with the end time messenger that God himself is going to see to this? Not just leave it and run its course. God is going to blind them. They're going to believe a lie. Why? That they might stand in the judgment and be condemned because they took pleasure in their own type and system of worship, calling upon God just like Cain. What was that unrighteous act? It was to worship God apart from a revelation, using this scripture apart from the word of the hour. And saying, don't tell me that we're not right. I can talk in tongues to anybody. Don't tell me I haven't got it. I know what to be born again. I went to that altar. Don't tell me I don't know how to get saved. I can take a drunken, no good alcoholic under a doctor who scares the living daylights out of him and make him just a fine looking Christian that you'll see coming to an altar. He doesn't know the first thing about the word. Brother, sister, this is what the Bible teaches. They took pleasure in their church system of their creeds and their dogmas. But we've been resurrected from the creeds and dogmas. And for the first time in 2,000 years, the Holy Ghost himself has been liberated to bring us the truth. Their lives are bound in their creeds and dogmas, to which at the end time they add a miracle ministry of Matthew 24:24. But as Brother Branham said, give them the word test. Like Cain, they cannot take the word, and they hate those who do. Let me show you where we are, brother, sister. Everything runs in a circle. The book of Revelation now coincides with the book of Genesis. You mind if we go back to Genesis, the third chapter, verse 22, and read it once more. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. Right now, we're at the place to reach out the hand and take hold of eternal life. And God says, you're not going to do it because you do know good and evil. And you've turned down the truth. But there's a little group, said God. At this end time, the brother Banner spoke of, they wouldn't know right from wrong. And he said, I'm watching them and I'm writing a record on them. And they fear my name because they're the only ones that know the name. Nobody's afraid of Jesus' name but you and me. See? And the way they talk, nobody else talks like them. And they keep talking to each other. And he said, what I hear is causing me to write a record, and they're mine, and they're the only ones that are mine. And when I come to make up my jewels, they'll be with me, because they have turned back to me, and they know righteousness from wickedness. They know how to worship. They know the truth. They know who serves God and who don't serve God, and they take a stand over it. They don't just accept anybody and everybody. They just don't say everybody talk about God and praise God, that's got to be a Christian. They don't say everybody talk about being born again is born again. And they don't say just because a man's got a healing ministry, well, that makes him a God. He said, you see, my people know. Because you can't fool the elect. Now, what does that word elect mean in Matthew 24:24? Ek logos. Those who come out by the word. You won't be deceived, little children. You won't. But I'll tell you, if you're one of his, for all time you have laid down every single thought you have on the subject, and you're willing to line up in your mind with everything the prophet said, and if he said something contrary, then you'll backtrack, and you'll clean that tear out of your garden, which is in your mind, which contains that word of God. See? At the end time, they don't know righteousness from unrighteousness, error from truth, service from infamy. And they'll go on until they end up in the camp of the Antichrist, thinking they're worshiping God through a church system of creeds and dogmas, and be absolutely lost. Brother Branham said, I don't call you church anymore, or saints, I call you bride. I think it's about time we take maybe even one more step that I know he would have taken if he were here. He could have also said, jewels, are you ready for the crowning day? Jewels are gone. Lively stones to reflect the light that has been shed at the end time. Here's where we stand, brother, sister. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On the fact that we have the divine revelation absolutely authenticated. Let men say we're bigots. Let them deny that we have a right to say as we have. They'll take that rightness one of these days, but we'll go right on just the same. Because the truth cannot perish any more than God can. The way of righteousness will not go down. But as in that end time when Noah and old Lot, and he was pretty lean, actually, in a way, but he believed that word, and that saved him. The Lord bless you. Now, Sunday morning, we'll take the following thought on the same subject. All deceivableness of unrighteousness, the deception that's in the church today, in a system that literally demonstrates the God who rejects it. Will it be done? Being done right now. Amen. We have a baptismal service, I believe. So shall we bow our heads in a word of prayer before we change the order of the service. Gracious Heavenly Father, bless thy holy name for allowing us to be here together, to give us such a time, Lord, of inspiration and worship around thy word, to know just where we stand, O God, because we know this is absolutely the truth, because it is your word. Oh, how precious to stand upon that which has been vindicated. How exhilarating, O God, to know that it was absolutely authenticated. Hallelujah to your name. Oh, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Thine be the honor, O God, thine be the glory. Let thy name be exalted, Jesus, for thou hast done great things. Let it be unto us, O God, according to thy word. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, if you're writing that book, and we know you are, help each one of us, O God, that we'll fill the pages as we give forth that which was given to us for each other by the infallible ministry of the prophet you sent us. Thank you for it, Lord. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.